It's That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
We can be bereaved, we can be bereft, and sometimes we can be both bereaved and bereft.
That's what they say. I'm Rebecca Hector, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Hi, Anne.
Hello, Rebecca. Delighted to be here with you.
And I am delighted by this question from Tom. Tom says, while out hiking this summer, I met a woman who said she was bereft about missing the chance to explore another nearby scenic trail. Since then, I keep hearing and using this seemingly old word. Is its use on the rise, and what exactly is its origins? I will be bereft if you don't answer my question. Pretty dramatic, Tom.
And we would not want to leave any listener bereft. Rebecca, how do you feel about bereft?
To me, it's kind of like an old-timey word. It sounds like something you would read in like a Bronte sister novel.
I love that. And this is an old word. And by this, let's start with the verb, bereave. Goes all the way back to Old English, and it meant to deprive or rob or dispossess. And the Oxford English Dictionary notes that since around 1650, the verb bereave has been used mostly in reference to immaterial possessions like hope or life, except in reference to loss of relatives by death. And this gets us to the two past participles of bereave. You have both bereaved and bereft. Let's start with bereaved. And Rebecca, I know some people are maybe wondering, why does it have two past participles? And there's a long answer to that, but let's just say that bereave is not alone. You can think about a verb like dream, which has both dreamed and dreamt. So Rebecca, bereaved, do you use that adjective?
I don't think it's an adjective I would use just in everyday speech. I might be able to write it in a story, maybe. I don't know.
All right. And this adjective, Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, the 11th edition, defines as suffering the death of a loved one. Sometimes it will be defined as grieving the death of a loved one. And you can get the noun the bereaved, or someone can be bereaved. This adjective originally meant deprived or robbed. And you can see here, in this case, deprived by the death of a close friend or a relative. So that's bereaved. Then you have bereft, the old-timey word. This also historically meant forcibly deprived, robbed, having lost the possession or use of something that you had. So you might be bereft of hope or happiness. And if you look in Merriam-Webster Collegiate, that 11th edition, the editors provide two definitions. One is deprived or robbed of the possession or use of something. And the example they provide is both players are instantly bereft of their poise.
That's kind of a strange thing to say.
They have been deprived of it. They have lost it. And the second definition is lacking something needed, wanted, or expected. And the example they provide for that is the book is completely bereft of an index.
Now I like that.
I do too. And it feels a little dramatic. Now, Brian Garner, in his usage guide, notes that bereaved should be used to refer to the loss of relatives by death. And bereft, he says, is used in reference to loss of immaterial possessions or qualities, and that it should not be used just to refer to the lack of something, but you must be dispossessed of it. But Rebecca, the fact is that people who use bereft can use it often to refer to something that is lacking. And here is an amazing quote from Frank Bruni, New York Times, 2008. At the vegan restaurant Angelica Kitchen in the East Village, there's a Reuben sandwich bereft of corned beef and Swiss cheese, which sort of makes you wonder why it doesn't just take a different name, like an Irving or a Bernard.
So it's like a sauerkraut and Thousand Island dressing sandwich?
And I think it's a brilliant use of bereft. It feels dramatic. Now, Rebecca, to refer to Tom's question of is this on the rise? Well, bereft and bereaved were more frequent in the 19th century than they are now. It is true that we're seeing an uptick in bereft over the last 40-ish years, but still not to the levels we saw in the 19th century.
All right, Anne. Well, thank you for not leaving us bereft of language knowledge.
Always a pleasure.
Ann Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.